Welcome to the Transform You podcast, the Ask Me Anything podcast, where Jody and Thad answer listener questions about health, mindset, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and lifestyle. So if you've got a question you'd like us to tackle, please email it to us at transformyouquestions@gmail.com. That's transform, the letter U, questions@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with anyone who could benefit. And now, on to the episode. All right, Thad and Jody back here for another episode of the Transform You podcast.
Woo!
How's it going, Thad?
All good. Ready for what you're going on the news tonight, right? Maybe. WPTV?
Maybe.
Pretty stoked about that. We're going to knock out this podcast today. We have a lot of awesome questions. And who are we going to start with?
All right. So first question is from Kimberly. She asked about synovial fluid. She said, is synovial fluid continually recreated by the body, or does it become more difficult to produce as we age? Does HIIT training or weight training improve joint lubrication? With little cartilage left in my knees and osteoarthritis, already inflicting my knees, wondering what I can do to help my body put some life back into my knees before I need full knee replacements. Year ago, I tried glucosamine and with MSM for about 10 years, but really did not see much benefit from that. Thanks, Kimberly.
Right on. What do you think, Jody?
All right. So first, actually, the body's actually able to act like a well-oiled machine because of this fluid, this synovial fluid that fills his joints. And now researchers actually think physical activity may help keep that liquid in place. You know, for decades, we always thought that physical activity was injurious to the joints. But a couple of years ago, a handful of studies found the opposite, especially with the risk of osteoarthritis going down the more active you are. So the results show that activity is the driving force behind maintaining that lubrication.
Use it or lose it, right?
Yeah. And while you make less of that lubricating fluid as you age, there are three steps that can actually help keep your joints moving smoothly. So the first one, of course, is activity, move. So working out, that pumps more lubrication into your joints and doubles your relief. It releases more water into your lubricating fluid, so it spreads over the cartilage surfaces a little bit more easily. And just regularly moving your joints through their full range of motion. So you want to extend them all the way through and do that first thing in the morning through especially the joints that you have in question. And that will cover the cartilage nooks and crannies with that synovial fluid. The second thing is to feed your joints some really healthy fats. So this is the same omega-3 fatty acids that curb inflammation in your body's vessels. That can actually calm down your joints too. So you'll get that from salmon, trout, olive oil, nuts, avocado, and supplements high in any of the DHA form of the omega-3 fatty acids. And also a third thing that
This is one that I've always been skeptical of. And I see that she already said she's tried glucosamine and chondroitin, but I read studies that were kind of iffy on it. And then I talked to friends with dogs, and veterinarians actually prescribed this for dogs with joint issues and joint movement issues. And I had two friends now that had dogs, and the dogs were in pain unless they took their supplement. And I found that really interesting. And then I did a little more research and found that some people respond well to it. It doesn't do it for everybody, but it's definitely worth a try to try glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin supplement.
Those are supposed to increase lubrication and decrease inflammation.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah. And thus reducing pain.
Yeah, they've got Triple Flex, stuff called Osteo Bioflex you can pick up at the store. And like I said, some people it may work and some people it won't, but I'd say it's definitely worth a shot for about 60 days and just see if you notice anything. And Jody, really quick, you talked about going through the full range of motion. What are you talking about when you talk about going through the full range of motion first in the morning? Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, basically, the way a joint moves, you want to make sure that you extend it fully. So just thinking about maybe your elbow joint flexion, right? If you're going to do a bicep curl, you want to fully extend it to the lockout motion. So you lock out your elbow and then you just slowly bring it all the way up to the shoulder. So as far as that joint will move without pain, right, extend it all the way through beginning to end. And that way it can help put some lubrication into that joint. And same with the shoulder joint. You know, you think of arm, big giant arm circles extending all the way forward.
I have to do those before I do pull-ups because I have joint issues in my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And before I do pull-ups, I have to do arm circle rotations for about 30 seconds before I get started. It really makes a difference.
And for the lower body, you want to think like leg swings, right to left, forward and backwards, keeping control over it. So you're not just using momentum, really use your muscles and your joints to move around the leg. And, you know, just making sure that you can fully extend and fully flex each one of the joints, and that will help just lubricate it.
All right. You want to hit the next one?
Yes.
All right. Let me read this. Hi, Jody and Thad. I've been on the ketogenic diet for about a year now. And over the past couple months, my muscle weight and lean weight fluctuates up and down, but my total body weight stays the same. I haven't really changed much of my diet, so I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. I typically fast between 8 p.m. and noon and have 2 meals and 3 servings of protein. He uses Origins Organic Protein and Kirkland brand protein bars a day. Thoughts? John. So let's attack this from two fronts, and I'm just going to attack the first one that pops out to me because we use body composition measures in our gym.
Well, it also depends
what
too on how often he's measured, like how far
it does. It absolutely does. My concern on this comes from somebody who knows that their lean weight is fluctuating. Everybody knows when the scale fluctuates, but to know if your lean weight's fluctuating makes me think maybe he's using a bioelectric impedance type of measurement because he's tracking it, and that's the type of stuff that we have in our gym. So just really quick, I just want to say that bioelectric impedance is a handy tool, but it can fluctuate a lot, especially on those numbers. So if your weight's not fluctuating and it shows maybe your lean mass or your fat's fluctuating each time you measure it, you might be measuring too much or too often, or you might be measuring just at different times when you ate, your water, your sodium levels, inflammation levels, all those things can affect the way those numbers show on that scale. And even hormone changes throughout the day. Yeah. There's a lot of shifts like that. So first off, your lean weight probably isn't fluctuating that much. If you're getting your measurements off the scale there, Jody, what was your other side of this?
You didn't specify how much you're eating, so I'm not sure how much protein you're actually consuming. When in doubt, it's always good to err on the side of caution by upping your protein.
Yeah.
And so I would make sure, I don't know how much 3 servings is. And you said here, you mentioned some protein bars, and I would recommend getting your protein from real sources of food. So animal products are one of the best ways to get the protein. It does wonderful things for the metabolism, and it has this thermic effect of food, which means it actually takes a lot of calories to digest it. The metabolic rate goes up by almost 30% when you're digesting protein. So that's a great way to get the lean tissue on you and the body fat down potentially. And try, I would say, if you're not consuming about 2 palm size portions of protein at each one of those 3 servings you're having, then up your protein and see if that helps too, John.
Yeah. And really, Jody, your question is very relevant. There is how often is his lean weight fluctuating? Because if your lean weight isn't actually going to fluctuate over a week or two, you know, I mean, it's not an easy thing to fluctuate that. And water weight, digestive weight, those things will fluctuate by pounds. I've actually had my weight fluctuate 6-7 pounds within a 36-hour period just by going super low carb and then carbing up and drinking lots of water and salt.
And John, so, we really recommend no more than every 4 to 6 weeks for checking in to really see how you're doing with lean weight and body fat. So make sure those are spread out so we get an accurate picture too.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the next one?
Next one here from Katie. Katie says, I have to eat out a lot for work. What can I do to stay on track?
Ooh, you want to get it first?
Well, depending on, you know, fast food restaurant, wherever you're going, there's a lot of tips and tricks that you can always keep in your tool belt too. And it does come down to you being comfortable just asking the person who's serving you the food questions too, and not being ashamed of, you know, asking them those questions. It's your dollars. People are used to now having, a population with issues with gluten and, you know, sugar-free, and we, that's just, it's buzzwords out there. So they're used to it. So don't feel bad. Again, this is your body, your dollars. It's okay to ask questions. In any restaurant you go to, you'll usually find any type of protein. So you can get eggs, you can get meat, you can get fish and veggies. If you're doing something with soups, seasonings, marinades, and sauces, those four categories tend to have wheat, sugar, corn, or soy lurking in the ingredients. So you just want to ask your server about those items in particular. It's when in doubt, just err on the side of caution, do grilled or baked. You know, just ask, is there breading on it? Can I do it grilled instead? So you can do chicken breast, fish, steak, steamed vegetables with real butter, and just specify no sugar or wheat or processed vegetable oils. A lot of sneaky places that, you know, the wheat, the corn, the soy, sugar can be found is in modified food starch. It's frequently in sauces, dips, even sour cream.
Creamy soups, gravies, yeah.
You go to the store, you just read, you know, a content of sauces, dips, sour creams, you'll find modified food starch in it. And then also in rubs, too, they often include wheat and sugar, sometimes modified food starch. Soups as well, you just ask if they're gluten-free. You know, they're frequently had flour to it as a thickener to make this the soup a thick base. And then your sauces and glazes, you know, ask if they're gluten-free or just ask for them on the side. That way you can read the ingredient label. Just not,
that's usually
not
the easiest,
to put them in. Yeah.
I, one thing I found is when you order salad dressings and you ask them, you say, I'll have the olive oil and vinegar. A lot of people will bring you out balsamic. I'm like, yeah. And they'll bring you out a balsamic vinaigrette, which is basically primarily soybean oil, second ingredient sugar, next, you know, and it's like, I just asked for olive oil and vinegar and that's easy, you know?
Yeah. And some tips too, always eat before you go out. If you have to go to a restaurant, that way you're not starving. You can ask for no bread, no tortilla chips, whatever comes, no croutons on the salad. Ask them to cook your meat and vegetables in olive oil or some real butter. You can use olive oil, like Thad said, and vinegar in your salad.
I mean, you're sticking to protein. Protein and veggies is really the quick rule, you know? That's right. Meat and some veggies. I mean, like, can I hop in here, Jody?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing is when I'm traveling and the hunger bug gets me is I will do things that I regret because I didn't start out with the mindset. Like, I'm traveling or, for example, airports used to kill me, and they don't kill me anymore because I go out with the mindset of what I'm going to eat. If you're forced to eat fast food or at places that you normally wouldn't eat, there are a lot of hacks and tips and tricks out there. So if you know you're going to an airport, you can, what I do is I search, for example, here's a little trick of mine, Five Guys at the airport. There's a Five Guys burger place, right? You can type in low carb Five Guys, low carb or keto Five Guys. If you type in low carb or keto before in the restaurant you're going to, you'll find all kinds of cool hacks. For example, at Five Guys, you can get a burger salad for about $9. That's actually pretty darn good. And protein is very satiating too, and it keeps me solid all day. And you can do it I'm not going to suggest this, but you can go to Burger King. There's even hacks at places like that where you can walk out with just a protein-rich meal. And I just suggest.
You can get a burger almost anywhere. So just say burger, hold the bun. Simple enough. A tip if you go to a Mexican restaurant too is to order two or three grilled chicken or fish tacos, hold the tortilla, wrap it in some lettuce leaves, and ask for a fork. And then you can add salsa, hot sauce, guacamole, a little cheese. Done.
A lot of fast food places will add a patty for like $1 or $1.50, so you can get two patties and you're full. I mean, it's absolutely awesome.
Also, try ceviche. It's this fish mixed with tomato, cilantro, lemon,
good.
And lettuce leaves. And just have them leave out any sauces or dressing and just use salsa instead. Now, if you're at a Japanese food restaurant, avoid tempura or anything else that's deep fried. And majority of sushi rolls come with rice, so ask your server to leave it out. You can actually get sushi rolls made without rice if you ask them to do a handmade one for you.
Hand rolls with even at places that usually are rice heavy or all you can eat sushi places, you can get hand rolls and they'll do tuna with cucumbers wrapped inside of seaweed with some awesome fish eggs if you're into that.
It's called sashimi. Sashimi is with no rice. It's just the fish. And hand rolls, no rice. They're really good.
Yep.
Salmon, tuna.
Yep.
You can ask for vegetables in it. and also a sashimi salad.
They can usually swap out the rice for with cucumber or
avocados,
yeah, shredded carrot, celery stuff. Yeah.
Now, Italian food, just beware of the bread. Have the waiter just take it away from you so it's not sitting there tempting you on the table. You can order a grilled chicken salad with olive oil, balsamic vinegar dressing, and any fast food in general. Again, they will have options like Thad said. If you don't know, you can actually just look in your phone real quick. You can type in low carb or keto at whatever fast food restaurant you're in, and it'll give you suggestions.
I was in Miami last week, and I was starving, and I went to a Wendy's, actually, and I was on a I hadn't eaten all day, and I got 5 beef patties.
Yeah. So order boneless sandwiches, grilled and a salad.
It was like $9 or something, and it was awesome.
You can order a boneless chicken breast salad sandwich, a boneless or beefs sandwich.
I wouldn't suggest McDonald's burgers because I'm pretty sure they're kind of junk meat. But Wendy's has fairly quality beef. I mean, for a fast food restaurant,
and
but.
Just even locally, like here, El Pollo.
Pollo Loco, yeah.
You can order the chicken breast, some steamed veggies, and salsa.
Any of the Peruvian chicken joints where they're just roasting chickens, you can get steamed vegetables and a half a chicken usually for less than $10.
And Chinese food is one of the easiest places to order. All you do, they have a diet menu. They call it diet because they just steam everything.
All the to-go places.
Yeah, have them hold the rice and just ask for your order steamed. And that's it. And just use salt and pepper, soy sauce as your seasoning instead.
Yeah. And let me see. Hey, back to Italian food. What about eggplant, Jody? There's some pretty awesome eggplant dishes at Italian Italian places that are primarily. I mean, the only concern on that's usually it depends on if it's a real tomato sauce where they made it there, or if it's a bulk bought tomato sauce. It might be all sugared up. But other than that, if you've got a solid eggplant dish, those usually aren't.
And
too
usually
bad.
With Italian, they're going to be cooking in olive oil, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, so next question is, can I do back-to-back sessions, doubles, or it's why only 30 minutes? Is cardio necessary for cardiovascular and metabolic conditioning? Is cardio necessary for fat loss? So my first question here is, you got to ask yourself, why are you wanting to do more? Why are you wanting to do doubles? Is it to lose body fat? Is it to build muscle? Is it just an addiction to exercise in general? Because you really want to forget your conventional ideas of cardio. Now, if you're doing some resistance training to some type of failure with an adequate time under tension and relatively short rest between those exercises, you're automatically stimulating improvements in all areas, like your functional ability, your cardiovascular conditioning, metabolic conditioning, even flexibility. So if you're feeling the need that you need to do more, I would suggest first try picking up some heavier weights, not stopping early, and minimizing the rest between those exercises. So you want to move quickly between the exercise movements. Now, the question of, is cardio necessary for fat loss?
No. Fat loss is basically energy deficit. And the amount of energy deficit that exercise gives you, whether it be treadmilling or even HIIT at the point of when you're doing it, is not going to create as much of an energy deficit that's actually going to do much for you.
And not necessarily even an energy deficit. It can also be done through hormonal environment conducive to accessing the energy in your fat stores.
Uh-huh.
So that's why we always...
And remind me to comment on the hormone side of it when you're done answering this section.
That's why we always, suggest making sure that we have this optimal hormonal environment for you, which again is making sure that carbohydrates are generally kept low enough so that your body can tap into its stored fat cells. And this can be accomplished with diet and your nutrient timing alone. Resistance training, you want to think of it more for the purpose of maintaining your lean body mass while fat is being lost off your body.
Because your body, especially if you're on a diet, will tend to utilize lean mass as well. And what are you doing when you're doing resistance training? You're giving a signal to either maintain or build more muscle. So that's what your goal should be, to build and or maintain lean muscle mass.
And once you send that signal to your body, because you did it hard enough, right? You reached momentary muscle failure. Your body has to maintain it, that tissue, which takes a lot of calories and resources. So you'll get this heightened metabolism through the rest of the week, just because your body is saying, don't get rid of this muscle. We're using it. Which is a great thing. So you want to forget the idea of exercising to burn calories.
You're building the machine. you're optimizing the machine by exercising, and then your fuel is the food you're in, your, you know, is the fuel you're putting in your body. And that's what you're becoming a more efficient user of that fuel.
And exercising to burn calories is a huge waste of time. No activity burns enough calories to be worth doing for that purpose alone. Not traditional endurance training, not sprint interval training, not spinning, cardio, kickboxing, boot camps, or other group classes, not even resistance training. Even if you did these activities for 1 to 2 hours a day, you'd burn less than the calories in a single pound of body fat.
3,500?
Yeah.
And that's assuming every single ounce of that effort was put towards that body fat too, which it wasn't.
And at the same time, here's what's going to happen. You're going to increase your stress hormones. You're going to be stressing your adrenal glands. You're going to be contributing to long-term joint and spinal problems and experiencing a lot of fatigue. And not to mention all the time factor that's involved in doing this for hours and hours each day.
I mean, what's the big complaint about cardio? It's boring, right?
Right.
I totally agree.
It takes a lot of time.
I'm not a fan of it.
So on the other hand, dietary modification doesn't require much time at all, other than just a few extra minutes a week for some meal planning and preparation, and it can produce much faster fat loss. And diet won't interfere with your body's ability to recover from and produce the improvements from your exercise protocol. So if you are already working out properly about 3 times a week, you'll be able to lose a few extra pounds of body fat per week with a few simple modifications in your diet.
Emphasis on the word body fat, not weight.
Right.
Too. We're focused on actual body fat, not weight loss. And that's a big difference.
Correct.
And that's a big problem we run into with a lot of members at our locations, is just the difference between the two.
And so, like I said, most of you are familiar with our nutritional protocol, but just to reiterate it again, you're going to make sure that you're eliminating the intakes of grains, legumes, refined sugars, processed vegetable oils. You're eating mostly meats, organ meats, poultry, fish, eggs, egg yolks, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. Also fermented foods like kimchi, sauerkraut, and then you'll be well on your way to losing body fat.
Yeah,
that's good enough.
I think that's a pretty solid answer. One thing I just wanted to touch on, there's always debates, and you might hear debates on, you know, even at the gym, but you hear it online a lot too, is the calories in, calories out thing. It's all about moving more, eating less. And this debate has gone on and on. And there's a lot of other people out there that says, well, actually it's more related to what your hormones are doing in your body, because your hormones are sending the signals on what you do with food, what you do with the energy, and how it's stored and how it's utilized. And one of the biggest and one of the most obvious things in my life that I've just witnessed directly is I've known a lot of people who have supplemented with testosterone, both through using a doctor through testosterone replacement and through less than legal channels. And it's amazing when testosterone supplementation goes up, guys that I know get ripped regardless of what they're eating. And I have been around some of these guys and they're eating and drinking along with me and they just get ripped. And it's 100% related to the hormonal environment they're putting their body into. And that's what we're doing when we're exercising. We're not supplementing ourselves with testosterone, but we are optimizing the hormonal environment of our body to better utilize what we put in our body so that you're not struggling to keep the body you want once you get it.
With exercise, you really need to think of it as a hormetic effect, meaning a little is good, a lot, not so good. So yeah. You want to keep it short and intense. That's why we do no more than 30 minutes, about 2 or 3 times a week, and you'll have the appropriate hormonal environment for your body to use when it sleeps to rebuild all of that damaged tissue you destroyed, right? Because you want to think of it basically when you do 30 minutes of damage, you want to double that recovery time. So you want to take at least an hour of recovery. And so the damage you're producing to your body, it needs an ample amount of recovery to give you the benefits that you just created when you damaged them during the exercise. And remember that, you know, exercise is a stressor to your body. You're tearing down that muscle. It only rebuilds when you go to sleep and repairs all of that tissue to make you stronger. So again, if you're depriving yourself of sleep, you want to rethink that. If you want, you know, more muscle to be stronger, to have less body fat, you need to sleep more so your body has more time to repair and assimilate all the nutrients you intook during the day as well. So kind of ties into this last one here. Chris asked how to get rid of the last few pounds of fat. The last of the belly fat just doesn't seem to budge. And the first thing I would suggest, sleep, stress, you know, upping your sleep, your deep quality sleep is going to be one of the best ways that you can ensure you're going to lose body fat. And believe me, people who just sleep more tend to lose more body fat. You guys are familiar with my facility leader, Kim at West Palm. Most of you are. She was at a standstill and we had her just sleep more. And in a month, she ended up losing 20 pounds just by sleeping. And everyone was like, wow, what have you been doing? She's like, sleeping. That was it. That was the only extra thing she added was sleep. And so it just shows you that if you can get a deep quality sleep, you will see some body composition changes. And that's the hardest thing because everyone feels lazy and like they should be doing something. But if you can set up your environment to conduce great sleep, meaning you're going to eliminate any blue light like your phone, the computer, the TV, at least 2 to 3 hours before you sleep. And if you can't do that, use a filter. There's apps on your phone, apps for your laptop you can get. Also, make sure you're minimizing any type of stimulants like caffeine and nicotine by at least noon.
Alcohol.
Alcohol as well.
Yeah, I'm a nightcap guy and I've had to stop because I really realized how just one drink, you know, before bed, I tell myself, oh, it's going to help me sleep. It doesn't.
No, it may help you fall asleep, but it will not put you into that deep quality sleep, which you need in order to burn the body fat and build the muscle. So eliminate the alcohol, especially before bedtime. If you do have a drink, make it with maybe one glass with dinner. Make sure it's not right before bed. And then also making sure that you have a cool temperature, a pitch black room will also help.
I think depending on the level of activity, like in your daily life. So he's already here working out at our location at least 3 times a week. We're working on sleeping. We're shortening our eating window. We're adjusting the amount.
We haven't said that. That's another tip. No.
Oh, yikes. Okay, go ahead.
So Thad just mentioned too, besides the sleep, what may also help get rid of the last few pounds of fat is just shortening your eating window. So whatever hours of the day you're eating right now, just try shortening them up just a tad and see if that may help. Because when your body again is not digesting food, it starts digesting all of your dead cells, free radical damage. It produces a human growth hormone, which actually helps you build more muscle, burn more body fat, and will help you utilize more of your body fat off your body. So again, you're not going to minimize the quantity of food that you're eating. Still eat the same amount, just shorten the hours of the day you eat it. So maybe if you're eating an 8-hour window, try shortening it to 6 or 4 just for a little bit to see what happens, if that can jumpstart those last few pounds.
Another thing is to basically your fat intake. So with all the fear that over the last, from the 80s and 1990s with the low fat craze, we've all been kind of afraid of fat. And then this whole don't be afraid of fat thing popped up with Gary Taub's book, Good Calories, Bad Calories, the Time magazine cover with the butter on it. And then the keto diet, we kind of all, a lot of people kind of jumped on the bandwagon that we just eat fat and we're fine. And most of the way it's not going to hurt you. But when you're working on tweaking some of the final pounds, fat's kind of like the throttle. We say make protein your goal. Carbohydrates the limit and use fat as the throttle. So if you're going to adjust a macro, adjust the fat down. I wouldn't worry so much about protein intake, upping or on that. Be sure it's there or eat till satiated, but watch that fat intake.
And that's a good tip too, Chris, is just maybe increase the protein. And that you may see the last few pounds of fat just decrease by doing that. So take those, let us know how it helps.
Jody, I have one more. Depending on the level of activity, I was going to hit this earlier, depending on the level of activity, like maybe you have a desk job and you're just working out, maybe adding just some low intensity cardio. Like if you want to add one more thing in there, taking a 1 hour walk a week or being sure you're playing a sport or doing something active a week could also help out. So it's, we're going to hit the grand slam.
All right. Well, there you go, Chris. Let us know how that works out for you. Give us your feedback. And we'll go ahead and call this quits. So again,
episode going to be on?
To be continued. We don't know yet.
I would like to do one on the What the Health documentary.
We have some topics and
getting.
Some,
we keep getting questions about what the health, and I think we're going to tackle it on either the next episode or the one after. Yeah. So,
and again, if you guys have any questions you'd like us to answer, email them to us at transformyouquestions@gmail.com. And
all right,
we'll see you guys next episode.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Transform You podcast, the Ask Me Anything podcast, where we answer listener questions about health, mindset, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and lifestyle. So if you've got a question you'd like us to tackle, please email it to us at transformyouquestions@gmail.com. That's transform, the letter U, questions@gmail.com. And don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with anyone who could benefit. We'll see you next episode.